hear the word from Psalms chapter 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry. My King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and I watch. For you're not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. For there's no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat's an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out. For they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing ever for joy. And spread your protection over them, that they may love your name and may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. And you cover him with favor as with a shield. This is the word of the Lord. Be seated. There's some situations in life that are beyond words, right? There's some situations where sometimes tears and groaning and crying and pain are just the only way to get out what's going in and the things that we feel on the inside. Anguish and deep suffering, catastrophic loss, they produce this kind of grieving in us that just can't quite be put into words. Think about the wife who has the policeman show up on her door and he knocks to tell her that her husband died in an accident that morning. The father who learns that his only son was shot last week in a shooting spree. You think of the girls who are abducted across the globe and sent into prostitution that suffer massive rapes at the hands of warlords and soldiers. And there's a kind of grief that's just deep and hard to wrestle with. And it ends up coming out when we just cry. We cry and we cry. There's times in life when words aren't enough. David's in one of those times and he says these words, give ear to my words, O Lord. Give ear to my words. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. I want you to notice that there's three things happening in here. There's kind of an intensifying parallelism as David's crying out. And it happens in the verbs and it happens in the nouns for those who are liking a little grammar lesson this morning. David starts off by saying, give ear, and then he says, consider, and then he says, give attention, and each one kind of builds on the next, right? Give ear, listen. Listen, don't just let the sound waves pass by your head, God. Listen. Hear what I'm saying. We all know what it's like to be a person who's talking to another, and it seems as though nothing's heard, right? It's just passing through, right? It's the favorite cry of wives as their husbands sit in front of a television and watch sports. Are you listening? Oh. And we know they're not. They're not giving ear. It's just passing through. And God is, and David is feeling like that, right? He's saying to God, give ear, sit and listen. Don't just let the sound pass by, but pay attention. He then says, consider. He doesn't want the words to just pass in. Okay, God, you heard him, but now consider them. Think on them. Reflect on them. Listen to what was actually said. Empathize with me, Lord. I'm crying out in pain. I want you to sense some of that pain and know that you're paying attention. Place yourself in my shoes, God, so that you know how difficult the situation is. Walk with me. It's kind of what he's saying. Consider. Finally, he cries out, give attention. Act, God. Pay attention and act for me. Don't just hear. Don't just feel what I'm feeling, but respond to the cry that I have. And if the verbs don't intensify enough, then the nouns intensify as well, right? We find, give ear to my words. Like many of our words, right, they start off, our prayers, they start off with words. We start off talking to God. We're expressing, we articulate what we want. But so often when things are difficult, the words devolve into cries, groans, inarticulate attempts. That we run out of words. We don't know how to express this any longer. And so we're just saying, listen, words to groans, groans to cries. Cries aren't words. They're sounds. They're sounds that echo that universal pain and suffering and hardship. And David saying, God, I need you to hear this in my life. In two verses, David weaves together three phrases of verbs and nouns that intensify and go from the common, I'm just, life is going along, listen, all the way down to the pain of suffering that's deep and hard. As one reads these verses, it's easy to identify and think back on some of those great dramas and hardships that you've experienced in your own life. And if you're lucky enough to not have had any of those, thank God. The day will probably come when it will be deep and hard. You can identify because we've all been, I think, in that place of desperate need where we run out of words. And yet we know and we want God to pay attention. We want him to listen. Reminds me of one of those 70s or 80s commercials. I can't remember which, but I remember seeing the Calgon Take Me Away commercials. You remember? Like life is just broken and hard and everything's just craziness and hardship. And she just cries out, Calgon, take me away. She finds herself in the bathtub and all is well, right? Peace is restored to the world. I wish it was that easy, but we know that pain, right? We know that hardship. We know that difficulty. We know that sense that everything's overwhelming, that it's just pressing in upon us. And that's where David is. Everything is pressing in around him. And he's just saying, God, I need you to act, to come here now. What this tells me is that it's okay for us to cry out and pray when things are hard. It's okay for us to have a sense of desperation and urgency, right? That we often go to God in our prayers as though we somehow need to craft the perfect King James English prayer that sounds lofty and high and wonderful. And the reality is that David is just crying out and he's not even getting words out anymore. He says he's crying, he's moaning, and he's groaning. It's okay to pray where things aren't quite right and where you don't even quite have the words and you can't phrase it together. It's why we encourage people to come together and pray in groups. It's not about the words. It's about the heart that's being expressed. That's what God wants to see. It's okay for us to pray with an emotional outpouring of our heart and our needs and the things that are going on. So often we sanitize our prayers. We put them together so nicely and we make them so clean and we add some piousness to it so that it sounds like we actually think God's really in control when in our heart we're saying, God, it feels out of control and it doesn't even feel like you're paying attention. And it's okay to articulate that to the Lord instead of trying to clean it up and say, God, I know you're there and I know that things should work out right. Just let the emotion flow. There's one more thing in this first two verses that I want you to pay attention to, and that's as David's crying out this way, as he's groaning and moaning and expressing this utter desperation, he knows who he's crying out to. He's crying out to his King and his God. He's crying out to the one that he recognizes can intervene and can hear and can pay attention. He recognizes that the only place to turn for help is to the Lord, the sovereign maker of the universe. And so that's who he's addressing all of this emotion, all of this pain. So even when it's hard, even when things are difficult, even when we're crying out, we don't know if God's listening, we turn to him in an act of will, saying, we know that you're there. Would you please respond, God? Would you please pay attention? Would you come back and begin that covenantal relationship with us that we feel like is not happening right now? One of the dangers of Reformed theology, if I dare say, is that we're so cerebral that we don't have a place for the heart very often. Right? And David is saying there's a place in the heart that needs to express the prayers that we have. And we as people from a Reformed heritage and a Dutch background often are a people who don't express a lot of emotion. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But I know that there's other of us that have a lot of emotion, and we sometimes wonder, is it okay to express it? David says it's okay. It's okay. Cry out to the Lord. Leads us to the third verse. O Lord, in the morning, you hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you. Love the way Eugene Peterson translates this in his message. He says, every morning you'll hear me at it again, Lord. Every morning I'll lay out the pieces of my life on your altar and I'll watch for fire to descend. Every morning you're going to hear me crying and groaning and moaning until you respond and the fire falls from heaven and you act in this situation. When we pray and we find ourselves in these deep places, God doesn't get wearied by us crying out. He doesn't get tired and say, oh, I wish that one would just be quiet. This is the God who hears. And he does pay attention. And David is saying, I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to keep crying out because that's how it feels on our side, as though God's not responding. But the scripture says God hears every one of our prayers. And he cares about everything that's in our heart. And so I'll just keep at it. I'll keep persevering. I'll keep pressing in because I am assured that you will answer. I say that David's assured for two reasons. The first is that he says, every morning, you'll hear me again. You'll hear me. Right? I'm at it, but you're going to be paying attention. And the word here is a word that's used often in Scripture to mean I'm not only going to hear, but I'm going to do. Right? So every morning you're going to hear me, God, and I know that you're going to act. You're going to respond as I pray and I cry out to you. Every morning I'll lay out the pieces of my life waiting for the fire to descend, waiting for you to respond. David expects an answer. He doesn't pray like so much of the prayers that we pray where we kind of throw them up there and be like, God, if you'd answer that, that'd be really nice. But I have no idea. David prays saying, I know you're going to respond. I'm throwing it up to you and I'm going to keep throwing it up to you until you respond to the prayer that I cry. Answer my prayer, Lord. This is deep expectation. In the morning, he says, I'll prepare the sacrifice and I'll watch for you. You don't prepare the sacrifice expecting a favorable outcome if there isn't any expectation that the Lord will show up. You don't get the altar all ready if you think that God's not going to send fire down to respond. David anticipates an answer, and he anticipates an answer for two reasons. Because God hates evil, and God hates evildoers. See, whatever the situation that's going on in David's life, we don't know, but it has something to do with evil people. And evil people are making his life difficult. Now, we may find ourselves in other situations that cause pain and hardship and difficulty, but David's situation is one that there's evildoers who are making his life difficult. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful. Somehow David is suffering as though other people are bringing this kind of junk onto his life and making his life difficult. And so he's crying out, answer, God. And I know that you will because you don't rejoice in wickedness. You're a God who loves goodness and truth. See, our assurance when we pray is that God's a good God. And so when things are difficult and hard and suffering is there, we know that God responds because he's a good God. It doesn't feel like that in the moment. It doesn't feel like that when the hard situation's happening. But that's why we need brothers and sisters who surround us, who can continue to remind us that our God is good. Because we're going to feel like we're in the bottom of the pit. But they'll keep telling us who God is so that we can continue to hold out that prayer and that cry. Our assurance that God will act is based upon his character. But even more than his character, it's based upon his graciousness to us. Verse 7 says, "But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house." Right? I don't feel like I'm in your house right now. I don't feel like things are going well. But I, through your abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. Take that entire phrase, the abundance of your steadfast love, and put grace in it. But I, through grace, will enter your house. I know that you'll respond because grace is what keeps me alive and what sustains me and what carries me. David is assured of an answer to his prayer because he knows that God's a God of grace. He knows that the wicked can't stand because God hates them, but he knows that God will answer him because God's a God of grace who loves. And that's important for us to remember when life feels like it's falling apart and when it feels like there are enemies from every side, whether they're emotional enemies or physical enemies, it's important for us to remember that God's a God of grace. And that he'll answer in the time when he sees best. But he'll sustain us until that moment. Because of grace, we continue to come and we continue to cry out and we continue to be assured that he's hearing. Now, that doesn't make the situation any easier. Right? Emotionally, that doesn't make the situation any easier. It's just as hard and it's just as painful, and it's not like this somehow puts a nice little easy veneer over the top of it that everything goes away and we say, oh, life's good. I feel wonderful now. My experience and your experience is that that's not true, right? It's that we still feel the pain and it still hurts and it's still hard and we still suffer. And yet, knowing that God is gracious and that he's good somehow carries us through one more day until he answers and the situation's resolved. And unfortunately, for some, that answer doesn't come in this life. They go to the very end of life, and their resolution comes on the day they meet their Savior. And it was painful to the end. But our God still wants us to cry out, and he still wants us to call to him. So what kind of things can we pray when we find ourselves in that place where life is falling apart and it's difficult and it's hard and everything seems to be broken and God doesn't seem to be answering and we just don't know what else to pray? What can we pray? Well, verse 8 gives us a few things. Lead me, O Lord. Lead me in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. When we find that everything else is broken down and there's nothing left and we're just finding ourselves groaning and we don't know what else to ask God for, this is a prayer we can pray when there are no words left. Lead me. Lead me. Guide me along the way. Right? Just keep walking one step in front of me and keep taking my hand and graciously leading me to the next place. Level the hills. Make sure that they fill in the valleys. Make sure it's easy because I'm going to have a hard time getting there, but I need you to lead me. Make the way straight so that I can get there. Second thing we can pray is in verse 10. Verse 10 says, Make them bear their guilt. This is David talking about his enemies. Punish evildoers, right? Whatever's bringing the pain, the hardship, the suffering, right? We can pray, God, punish evil and punish evildoers. Let them bear their own guilt. Whatever it is that's happening, let it come back upon them. That doesn't feel natural for us, but it's a prayer that we can pray in the Word of God. God, take those who are causing the difficulty and the pain and the hardship and bring it back upon their own heads. Let them reap what they've sown. The third thing we can pray is in verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Spread your protection over them. We can pray for God to protect. We can pray for God to protect. We can ask for God's joy to be restored and for his protection to come over us so that we can go through another day. We can ask him to put a bubble of protection, right? Wrap us in some bubble wrap so that we can make it a little bit longer, so that we can sustain just a little bit more. Restore to us, Lord, the wonder of living. Because in the hard times, we lose all sense of the wonder of life. So the next time you find yourself in a situation that seems unbearable, that seems difficult and hard, and you're walking in a place where it doesn't feel like God's even listening, don't give up. Turn back and continue to cry out to God and pray urgently and pray persistently and pray expectantly, knowing that your God will hear you. And if you can't do it, tell somebody else so that they can do it for you. And know that your God is gracious. Know that he hates evil and he will have a day when he punishes all sin. Know that he will lead you to paths of righteousness, that he'll lead you to still waters, like the psalm, the 23rd psalm says. And know that he's the one who can protect you and restore life, even when it feels like all of that life is gone and is ebbing away. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is the kind of God you are, a God of grace, a God who doesn't tell us to pretend like it's okay when it's not okay. We thank you that you're a God of deep emotion. And you understand you created us with emotion, and you understand that sometimes those emotions get so deep and so dark that we lose words and we lose hope. We thank you that you give us a picture in Scripture of what to do when those times come. And that's to turn our eyes back on you, to fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. So, Lord, carry us through. We know that there are people in our midst who are in the deep, dark pits. Help us to pray for them, to lift them up, to encourage them. But more than that, Lord, we just pray for you to protect them and sustain them and carry them through one more day. And all God's people said,